Yeah. So today's message is stop and listen. Sometimes in life, we get so busy and distracted that we forget that all that we do is for the glory of God. Every single thing we do. So there's a scripture in there somewhere, right? That says, whatever we do it as though we're doing it for the Lord. Now, my sister just started going back to school. She's probably listening this morning. And she's going to Indiana Wesleyan University. And I'm really proud of her. She's 8 years older than I am. And she was always a better student. Like she was the type of person that didn't have to study and then could get an A on the test, right?
Oh, one of those.
I always had to study everything, right? And if I got a C, I was happy, right? That was me. And until I got to upper seminary, right? So my sister takes this kind of to the extreme. She says, well, I'm doing everything I can for the glory of God. So if I don't have an A plus, I'm not doing it to the glory of God. That's how she is. So, but in life, we can forget. Who's ever had one of those jobs where it just becomes routine? Anybody? You wake up, you set your alarm clock, you get up, you get up and you do your work, right? And the day passes, and by the time it's over with, you probably maybe not even remember what all happened that day. I mean, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
I've definitely been there when I was out in the world, when I taught school, when I was a custodian, right? All of those times in my life, they became routine. And I think for survival, sometimes they had to become routine. As a pastor, usually this isn't the case, but there are things in the ministry that just become routine. Now, before I was a Lutheran pastor, we had annual conference every year, and we had all this paperwork, and I am so happy I don't have to do all this paperwork now. There's like two or three of those big tables upstairs, stacks of paper, and everything we had to turn in every year to the bishop's office, and the pastor had to do all of it, right, pretty much. And let me tell you, that became routine. Whatever I had to do to get those paperwork done so I could turn it in and get my check mark, I was good. Ministry overall doesn't become that. Thank goodness. It's one of the things I love about being a pastor is nothing is usually routine. Ministry is always subject to change. But we have to remember, I don't care if you're a pastor, a teacher, a mailman, an Amazon driver. Man, those guys work. And gals were really late at night. I mean, I can order something tonight and get it at 7 in the morning, right? The next morning. It's crazy around here. Jobs become so routine. But everything that we do, absolutely everything, is for the glory of God. We never know who we're going to talk to, who we're going to interact with, that we may have a kingdom impact with. You know, for you teachers and administrators, and Roddy in your job, all you folks that are in that school system, you never know what an impact you can make on a child. Just through your conversations. I'm almost like not envious, but jealous of those daily conversations you get to have with kids that don't know Jesus. I mean, you're in a mission field. You really are. And I know it gets touchy, you know, talking about God in school. You might not even be allowed to, right? But they see you, right? They may know you're a believer of Christ. And hopefully one day that'll make a difference. I can tell you in the hospital, when you have a nurse that's a believer of Jesus, and that's known, the difference that makes. Our doctors, all of these professions may not be in the church, and in some ways, great. You guys get to do your work to the glory of God and to spread Jesus in a way that I never will be able to. Now, going back to the church life, I had a council member. I think I've told you about him. His name was Mr. Ali Hall. And Mr. Ali and his wife were from South Africa, right? So when people would come into the church, we would always say, it was a joke, these are our token South Africans, right, in the church. And she spoke in Afrikaans, and it was a really good friendship and relationship. They didn't believe in air conditioning in South Florida. So I would go make a house visit at least once a week with these folks, and it would be 100 degrees in their house. And we'd have hot tea and hot coffee. But they always would, they were so faithful, because before any decision was made at council or at our administrative group, right? He always would ask the question, well, have we prayed about it? Have we sought the will of God with this decision? Didn't matter what decision it was. It could have just been the routine work of the church. He was always asking this question, have we sought the will of the Lord in this decision? And I believe in my, that was in my early ministry, my first lead pastor call. It really impacted me. It made me think about the question of our sermon title this morning. Have we stopped and listened to the voice of God? And as we hear the verse out of Luke today, verses 38 through 42, in these first few verses, it says, while Jesus and his disciples were traveling, and Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. See, to be a Christian, I believe we have to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word and apply that word to our lives. There is no other way. In the first few verses today, we hear that simply Jesus came and visited. And what did Mary do? She stopped whatever she was doing to hear his words. So it doesn't matter what we're doing in our life, where we're at, we have to be prepared to stop and listen to the words of Jesus in the busyness of our lives. We have to be prepared to stop. Now, what I envision in this story is maybe a little different than what you guys envision, but I envision true Southern hospitality, right? Jesus stops over, they welcome him in. Where I'm growing up, right? Sweet teas offered. Any of the fixings they want, some cornbread biscuits. That's what I envision. So I envision if Jesus comes, that old painting of Jesus knocking at the door, right? Jesus knocking at the door and welcoming him in to my home. Welcoming Jesus into our hearts and learning from his word. Whatever lesson or teaching. I mean, if you look at the real simplicity of today's verses, within a few verses today, we hear so much about the Christian life. These verses warm my heart. It's the ability of having an open mind, the ability to hear his word, and to begin with our duty as believers. If you remember, maybe 4 weeks ago, I preached a sermon on the Christian duty. What is our job as believers of Jesus? What is our jobs as believers of Jesus? And this morning we have to hear his word. Now, let me tell you, friends, as Christians, Lutheran Christians, right? We believe that people come, in our theology, come to know Jesus through the proclamation of the word. Proclamation of the word. So how do we get people to hear the proclamation of the word, right? We invest in them. We don't preach it, everybody, I don't believe. But we certainly tell people about the word. We tell people what God's holy word says. And then we sit at the feet of Jesus, all of us. It's like hearing a bedtime story. Who reads their kids' bedtime stories or did in the past? Buddy, good. Okay, reading your kids' bedtime stories. That's the type of relationship that Jesus is asking us to have. the awe, the unknown, the intensity of the story, right? My favorite book still to read our kids at bedtime story, and Ricky Leo will go get it when I don't feel like reading. It's a book about beards, right? And it came from Duck Dynasty, you know. They made a book about beards, and I read it to him all the time. And he loves the book, and I love reading it to him. We have to have that relationship with Jesus, that we are hearing his story and that we appreciate him reading it to us, that we understand it, that it's special. Or we have to ask ourselves, if we don't want to do that, do we know more than Jesus? And only us, only each other can really be our own judge, right? We can only judge ourselves. We don't want to start judging other people, because what does the scripture say? It says, if you judge others, I'll judge you. But we have to judge ourselves so we know where we stand in our relationship with God. We know our deepest, darkest secrets. We know our true self, right? More than anybody else, even your spouse. I mean, some people are different when they're home, right? And so we need to really have accountability. So part of me going to the seminary with these students next week is learning spiritual formation. So raise your hand if you know what spiritual formation is. Okay, it's okay. So spiritual formation is the process of that relationship with Jesus, growing that relationship with Jesus. So we are formed spiritually, right? That we're not the same. Our relationship with Christ today isn't what it is tomorrow. And it just continues to grow. And we talk about the spiritual disciplines, prayer and journaling and all of these different things that we can do to grow our relationship with Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that, because let me tell you, in the ministry, sometimes it becomes routine. It becomes, well, this is the job. And just 2 weeks ago, you may have seen in the news, they appointed an atheist as the chaplain at Harvard University. You guys seen this?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's crazy. Ridiculous. Right? It is absolutely ridiculous. So in today's world, humanism, secularization, one doesn't even have to be a believer in Jesus and have the title chaplain. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, we had people that went to seminary with me that walked out not believing. Right? Because you learn so much about the history of the scripture that they lose their faith. And we have to prevent that. We have to have them grow in that relationship with Jesus. So all of us in this room this morning, we have to, with the world changing around us, grow that relationship. We really do. We want to be prepared for this crazy world we live in. Man, I just cannot believe it. An atheist chaplain at a historic Christian university. Wow, right? So we're going to go through verse 40 and 41 here. And by contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." So I find this verse kind of amusing, right? So we have Martha tattling on Mary, right? Upset. And I can just imagine. I mean, so my wife's got a younger sister, Emily. And so, again, we've been together since I was 15. And I remember in their house, them kind of doing this when it came time to setting the table and washing the dishes. So I remember them tattling on each other, and they still kind of do it when they're around each other. It's really kind of funny. But I just, to think that they did this to Jesus, they told Jesus that, you know, I'm upset that she's sitting and listening to you, and I'm doing all the work. See, we continue the story, and he tells us that we should not be worried or distracted by what's really important, by what he is sharing. And I've done this. Like, a guest comes over to the house, and instead of spending time with them, I'm like trying to pick up, right, and clean and get things ready. But really what's important is the person sitting there. See, we have to put what's important first. And as a pastor, sometimes it's hard. As people, it's hard. We have our hopes, dreams, desires, wants, all those things. And Jesus tells us that we're supposed to put it all aside for him. That's the relationship here. It's not about me. It's not about y'all. It's about God and what he wants for our lives. And sometimes that's really hard, right? You know, God, I really want, you know, I really want to do this. I want to go on vacation, but the Lord says, no, you're going to, I don't know, Haiti on a mission trip. Could happen. God, I really want to take this job. No, I need you to stay in this miserable place because you're the only Christian there. Right? Could be. Could be. That could be what happens to you. I don't know. The Lord does some crazy things sometimes when he wants us to serve him. And I've told you that. I feel like sometimes I've had that relationship that Jonah had with God, where I've gotten swallowed up and spit it out. And have anybody ever felt like that else, or is it just me this morning? Yeah. Where I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to go there. I don't want to be with those people, right? You know, I don't want to go to the family reunion this year, but you have to go because God wants you there. And God always tells me, he says, you know what I'm calling you to do. Sometimes we have to be uncomfortable. We have to go through hardships. We have to go through those moments of stress and anxiety to grow us in the faith, to make us stop what we're doing in our tracks and to do what he tells us to do. We have to be okay with being disrupted and changing at a moment's notice. And I told you earlier, like I said, my home pastor used to always tell me, ministry is always subject to change. Always. And that's, again, I love it. It's true. It has truth behind it. Because as soon as you think you're going one direction, you got to take a left. All the time. You try to do the right thing, and God tells you to do something else. So, friends, remember, we are all called to ministry at our baptisms. So this morning, about stopping and listening, why am I telling you that? Because it's not just me that has to do that, right? It's all of us. If we're called to ministry at our baptisms, then all of us should be listening to the voice of the Lord, because he's all got a special purpose for our hearts and our souls. And again, I know of some of the ministries happening in this church that I know the Lord has spoken to you about, right? And it didn't come from my head. Praise the Lord. Not everything has to come from me. I'm so glad, right? That's because you guys are creating a vision for your future as a congregation, right? A continued growth of the church. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. God is ready to allow you to grow his kingdom, to move forward in his path. And we have to do so by receiving accountability and conforming to his will. One thing is necessary, he says in verse 42. Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken away from her. So again, Martha is told by Jesus that Mary is correct, because Mary was sitting and listening. And Jesus, in this verse, tells Mary that chores aren't necessary, right? But you guys like that? Chores aren't necessary? Who just loves cleaning? Anybody? I mean, there's got to be at least one. I wish I was like that. You love cleaning? Look, we got two, you know, two people. Just enjoy it. I don't find any satisfaction other than I like a clean house. I have no desire to just sit there for hours and clean. I'd rather do something else. So Jesus gives us permission here, friends. We're all imperfect, right? I told you week after week of my imperfections as a human being. We're all imperfect. But we can always listen to the Lord. It doesn't matter. There's really no amount of sin in our lives where Jesus can't talk to us. I mean, that's the whole point. Like, when we are born again into the body and the spirit of Jesus, right? We were sinners that were saved. And so no matter what you're doing in your life, Jesus can stop you where you are. So we have to be able to really commit our lives to give that time, talent, and treasure that we keep talking about. So we've talked about it for about 13 months now. Time, talent, treasure. So I want you to think right now, are you committing that? This is not me begging you for money this morning. This is me asking you to reflect spiritually, especially on the latter, your time and your talents this morning. How are you committing them to Jesus? Is there some gift that Jesus has given you that is going unused for the body of Christ? Now, I've heard of the stories of the past, right? Bob Rose, one of them, with his woodworking. Okay, that was a talent that he had. All right, what else? What are those talents? Obviously, we have the sewers or quilters. I get confused. I know what they do both. We have some that lead studies here that do a wonderful job.
Cooks.
We have some great cooks, we do.
Yes.
And we have people that host, Maisie, wherever you're at this morning. I'll see you. Yes. And she's got the most wonderful house to host everybody. So thank you for doing that. I like looking at the water. We have people that just give humbly. I mean, Roddy was out here cutting the grass with his knee. I mean, come on. And Jen and Kevin and all their hard work. Right, Mr. Lou in the past, I know you've done a ton on the property. Thank you, sir. There are so many of you this morning that give of your time. George with your cross ministry, right? Mr. John back there puts up with my family and does a lot of stuff. And the dogs, thank you. there are so many of y'all. Jane, all you do for evangelism and outreach. I mean, there's so much. I can just keep listening. Bill and Jeanette and Tom and Bev, all of you guys. You've worn yourself out. You do all kinds of stuff, Mary. There are so many of you. I just want to keep calling you out. I know all the things that you guys are doing, but we'd be here all day. I know. God has us. We are one family. We are here together. We are at the feet of Jesus. Right? We are responding to his will. I know the conversation is, man, we need some more young people to come in and take some of these jobs over, right? Amen by anybody? Amen. You know, I get shocked. I get shocked sometimes. Like I hear how old somebody is in the congregation. I said, really? You know, are you sure? My grandpa down home is doing the same thing at his church. Like, you know, he's an older guy and he's out there. They have a ministry, a thrift store. And they give, like, I think he told me $500,000 last year for missions. Everything they sell goes to missions. That's it. Doesn't go to the church budget. And it's all, everyone is like 70 to 90 that's running this thrift store. And the question is, well, what's going to happen when something happens, right, to these men? And so I challenge you this morning that all of us, I want to get some younger people, but you guys are the examples. So as they come in, as younger folks come in, what I want you to do is take them by their hand and invite them to help you in your ministry. Lead them up, coach them, get them involved and interested, because I guarantee you when you do that, they'll get involved. But I can tell, like my age group, they got to basically be invited and told, hey, come help me with this or that, right? And I think that's everybody overall. Usually, like on Sunday morning, I'm recruiting people to run stuff, like Roddy this morning and Bill, and right? So like we got to invite people to do things. So this morning, that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Jesus did that. He told us to stop, to listen to what his words are, even when they're uncomfortable, even if they're with mean people or nice people, it doesn't matter. Be with Jesus. Hear his voice. Do whatever is necessary to glorify God in your ministry, in your work, in your family life. Show love and compassion and mercy when it's needed, friends. Let us pray. God, help us learn from Mary. God, that when you come into our lives, that we stop getting so distracted, like Martha. God, that we're not so worried about picking things up and making things look perfect, God, to not spend time with you, to not focus on your will. God, I said it. When you come around us and you tell us to do things, God, sometimes it makes no sense. Sometimes, God, it's to be the only Christian in our workplace, God, which sometimes is really hard. Sometimes it's to be the only believer in our group of friends. And that's hard. God, sometimes it's to stand up for what's right. God, sometimes it's to lead the church in your will and your direction. God, I pray your Holy Spirit upon First Lutheran Church here. God, there are so many good things that are happening in this congregation. God, and I want this church to grow for you. God, I do want some of those young people to come in and be mentored by the congregation into doing ministries for you, to continue to grow in your faith, to upraise teenagers and young adults and little children. God, help them be your hands and feet for the world. God, be with us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.